Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2021 Youth Education Conference held in Orem, Utah.
When you think about the second coming, give me the first word that comes to your mind. Go ahead. Angels. Jesus. Misery. Missouri. Yeah, go ahead. Awesomeness. Heaven. Good. The signs, right? Destruction. You're mean. Peace. You guys should hang out more often. Go ahead. Redeeming love, war, go ahead, fire and brimstone, that's three words, we'll give it to you, fire, brimstone, good, and good, joy, resurrection, more food, we'll have our intellect, we'll remember stuff better, knowledge, right, go ahead, glory, I love that, okay. First thing you got to know, when you hear the phrase second coming, please know there are four second comings. Did you know this? Good. You know about his appearance to the world. We're going to go through all four visitations of the Savior surrounding his second coming. The first place he's going to come is to a place called Adam on Diamond, which happens to be in the great state of?
Missouri.
Good, Missouri. That's why he said Missouri. His second appearance will be in the Middle East, at a city called, anyone know this?
Nephi.
Not Nephi, but I heard it, Jerusalem, okay? He will also make an appearance at the New Jerusalem, and there's some debate on when that's going to happen. It'll be Independence, Missouri, but it's also going to be in the Middle East. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. His final appearance will be to the world, okay? Let's go through some of these to begin with. You have to understand, when the second coming happens, the world will not be in a good place. Let's say that very mildly, okay? We will have all kinds of sentiments that are very contrary to the gospel. We're going to have people proclaiming things that are very against the gospel and against Jesus. In fact, one of the terms you might have heard of is the term Antichrist. Raise your hand if you've heard that word before, Antichrist. Okay, it's scriptural, it's biblical, it's used in the book of John, very, very end of the New Testament. Please know this. Well, first of all, anti, what does anti mean? Against, opposite. Another definition of anti from the Greek is a mirror reflection. There's going to be a movement that is supposed to not just remove Christ, but emulate him as well in a very satanic, evil way, okay? You have to understand, in the pre-earth life, Lucifer wanted to tear down God in the beginning. He wanted to take his place on the throne. You know the story about the plan of salvation there, right? In the latter days, he's going to try to remove the spirit from your life. He's going to tempt you young people to do things that are contrary to God's commandments, and he's going to introduce a movement, a person, and a group that their goal is to replace Jesus Christ. Okay, it's going to be a little bit wild. In fact, we're starting to see some of those movements today. Last General Conference, Elder, make sure I get the name, it is Elder Anderson, he said that in the last 10 years, 30 million people have left Christianity. And he's saying in the next few years, it's supposed to be double that number. People are leaving Christianity left and right because of this Antichrist sentiment that's starting to grow and be a thing in our society. One evidence of the Antichrist, Sister Beck, she's one of our Relief Society presidents back in the day, she said that anti-family is Antichrist. And so as you see different laws, different regulations and rules surrounding gender and family, please know that that is one of the signs of the times. Again, Satan is trying to remove family. He's trying to replace good values with things that are very anti-Christian. So please, please be aware. Another thing that's supposed to happen is a mark called the mark of the the beast. You've heard about this, right? It's a little bit scary. We don't know what that is. You're going to hear, as you go out throughout your life, you're going to see posts, you'll see people on TikTok, on social media, talking about the mark of the beast. NBA playoffs are happening. I'm not sure if NBA fans or not, but LeBron James plays for the Lakers. There's one guy that is convinced that LeBron James is the Antichrist with the mark of the beast. LeBron James, when he warms up, he grabs talcum powder, he'll get on his hands, he does a little poof blow, and he'll throw it up and then do this little sign, and there's a blogger convinced that LeBron James is the Antichrist, okay? It's so funny. By the way, if you do a Google search, you will see people saying that President Biden, President Trump, Oprah Winfrey, the Queen of England, you can find almost anybody that is supposed to be the Antichrist based on another person's opinion. And I don't know, maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong. They're probably wrong. I want to teach you a cool doctrine about this mark of the beast that is associated with the Antichrist. The word mark means it's the bite that is left by the it's a mark left by the bite of a serpent. So if you were to get bit by a snake, it literally means snake bitten. The word mark, when in terms of the mark of the beast, also means the brand that a slave owner would put onto a slave. Back in the day, those slaves, they used to brand them. They get hot branding irons and literally, like, oh, I can't imagine. And that's what they did to brand their slaves. You guys, in the latter days, there's going to be a lot of youth that because they continue to follow things that are against God's commandments, they will get branded. They will be bitten by the adversary, okay? Please, please don't. If you see yourself going down those routes, if you're in groups of friends, or if you're reading things that are enticing you away from the gospel path, oh, please, please make a correction before it's too late. I want you to be on the right team when the second coming does happen, okay? All right, let's get into this a little bit. Some of the signs that are supposed to happen. Oh, man. Well, let me just throw it out to you. Give me a sign of the time you've read about. Just tell me what's on your list. What have you seen, read about? Go ahead. Earthquakes. It's on the list. By the way, if you do a Google search for the number of earthquakes or the frequency of earthquakes or the intensity of earthquakes, guess what has happened since the year 2000? Off the chart. These charts are crazy. You can Google search. It's kind of fun. Go ahead, next one. Plagues. Can you be more specific? What's your favorite plague? Good. BYU. Good. BYU. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Oh, I'm totally teasing. I know there's a bunch of BYU fans. I teach up at Utah State, so I have to tease the BYU fans. Please. Good. Wars. Rumors of wars. Another one. Famines. You know what? This is fascinating. You actually brought up a positive sign of the times. Thank you. All these negative nillies over here. I don't know why they're wars and famine and death and destruction. You're like, young people will prophesy in the name of the Lord. You are right. It is actually Joel chapter 2 that talks about the rising generation being faithful and true, having powerful testimonies. I like you. Thank you very much. More. Miracles will follow those who believe. You guys, if you are close to Christ, as you see the signs of the destructions, you're going to see very positive things happening. She can hardly stand it. Both hands are up. Go ahead. Oh, pestilence. All that for pestilence. That's all you got. But no, you're right. Lots of pestilences. Go ahead. Temple work is one of the positive signs. Yeah. President Nelson has now announced 72 temples during his ministry. 72 temples during his ministry. That's wild. He's on a mission. Go ahead. Gathering of Israel. Another big theme of President Nelson. Good. Another.
One of the apostles died.
Ooh, we're going to talk about the death of two apostles in just a minute. That's a big one. Go ahead. We have the blood moon prophecy. You know what is crazy about the blood moon prophecy is this. Back in October 2001, President Gordon B. Hinckley. You've heard of him before? He set up a general conference, and he read Joel 2:38-39. Talks about the sun being darkened, the stars falling, the moon turning to blood. And he said, quote, "The vision that Joel saw has been fulfilled." Done. But Gordon B., when did that happen? He passed away before I could ask him. I don't know. He never said when it happened. He said that one has been fulfilled. Crazy. Let me say that again for those that didn't hear. He says, these signs will happen over and over again. It won't be one earthquake or one war. We will see multiplicity in these different signs. If you want to nerd out on the second coming, there are a few videos produced by members of our church, not endorsed by our church, but they have some theories about when the second coming is supposed to be, and it's fascinating, fascinating, not scriptural, not doctrine, but man, if you want to nerd out on those, it's kind of fun. And there's some good reasons and mathematical things, and I've marked my calendar for April 8th, 2024. Can't tell you why, it's in the videos, but just for fun. I put a big happy face, like, let's just see if this lady's right. We'll see. Kind of excited. Go ahead. Yeah, we're going to talk about that last world war called Armageddon. We're going to spend some time there with the death of the two prophets as well. One more, two more. Temple in Jerusalem. We're going to talk about that one as well. And something to do with the stout horn. Ooh, who's heard that one before? It's not snowboard. No, there will be snowboarding at the sign of the times off Tippecanoe Hill, right? Have you read about the hailstorm that's supposed to happen before he appears to the world? Oh, man. If you're taking notes, Revelation 16:21. Revelation 16:21. It says that this hailstorm, the hailstones, will be the size or the weight of a talent. You're like, okay, what's a talent? Anyone know how much a talent weighs? Like, my talents weigh about 1 ton. I'm very talented. A talent is a unit of measure to measure precious metals. It happens to weigh about 75.6 pounds. Take a bowling ball. How much does an average bowling ball weigh, you guys? Yeah, 10, 14, 15 pounds. I went to school with a meteorologist. He took the molecular density of hail, and based on his 76-pound projection, he said it would have to be about 22.5 inches in diameter and would travel at a terminal velocity of 200 miles per hour. Okay. Nah. Well, she says, where do you hide? Where do you hide? Does God have good aim? Yes, he does, and we're so grateful for that. So, so, so grateful, right? Okay, let's get into it a little bit. We're going to talk about the three appearances, and then we'll go eat some lunch. First appearance, remember what it was called? It's in Missouri, Adam-on-Diamond, okay? Adam-on-Diamond is a place in Missouri. Does anyone know why we care about that place historically? Go ahead. You are so close. She said that's where the Garden of Eden was. She's so close because it was really, when Adam and Eve were removed from the garden, after they partook of the fruit, the Lord kicked them out because they had transgressed the commandment, right? They lived in Adam-on-Diamond. Adam gathered his posterity together. He gave him a priesthood blessing. And it's been prophesied that before Jesus returns to the earth, he will appear again at that same place. Our doctrine is that we're going to have 144,000 people there, at least. I say at least because the book of Revelation said there's a number, and DNC 27 says the same thing. There's an innumerable number of people that are also participating somehow, some way. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel will be there. So if you're from Ephraim, you have a 1 in 12,000 chance of participating, which isn't great, right? Yeah, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. The purpose is to give priesthood keys back up the chain, so to speak. Adam receives all keys, hands them over to Christ. Christ then becomes our leader. It becomes a theocracy where we really prepare the world for the second coming when Jesus is literally sustained in his role as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is my hope. I think that Zoom is a sign of the times. Because of the wording in Revelation and also Section 27, Doctrine and Covenants, there will be 144,000 people there at Adam-on-Diamond, but it says and also another company, which no man could number. I hope that maybe through technology we can participate. DNC 27, by the way, has the guest list. It has listed there, if you're taking notes, Adam's going to be there, Eve, Peter, James, and John, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph Smith, the whole list, well, not the whole list, but a number of people. Moroni is going to be there. Can you imagine, you young men, being a deacon at Adam-on-Diamond, because we're going to have the sacrament there. Can you imagine passing the sacrament to Adam and Eve and Noah and Moses and holy cow. Can you imagine you're the bishop that Sunday and you have to get speakers for sacrament meeting? Who do you choose? Our opening speaker will be Adam talking about the fall, and then Moses talking about commandments, and then President Hinckley talking about temples, and then we'll have Joseph Smith talk about the restoration. And then we'll have an intermediate hymn by the Tabernacle Choir, or the choir at Temple Square, whatever they're called now, yeah, the Tab Cats, right, the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square, Tab Cats. And then we'll have President Nelson talk about the gathering of Israel, and we're going to have Peter talk about being valiant. And we'll, I mean, on and on and on. Can you imagine that sacrament meeting? I could stay awake for that. Section 27 says that, again, the highlight will be the sacrament. Who would you have bless the sacrament? Can you imagine having Jesus bless the sacrament? You're there firsthand, possibly, or maybe via Zoom, to listen to him utter that sacrament prayer. Holy cow. He might have to change the words, right? Because it's him, right? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? One last thing in section 27, you guys, after talking about Adam on the Almond and showing us the guest list, at the end, he gives us a principle of preparation. He says, if you want to be there, you've got to put something on. This is our passage about the armor of God. You've heard that term before, a lot of you. Shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod of the preparation of the gospel of peace, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. You've heard those terms before. If you want to be prepared for the second coming, every day you've got to put on that whole armor. You've got to keep your thoughts clean. You've got to make sure you're following the law of chastity. You've got to make sure your feet are taking you to the right places. You've got to seek for the Spirit. Remove things from your life that would repel the Spirit away from you. You've got to try to be righteous. Let me help. I told your parents this principle. The word for sin in Greek means to miss the mark. So picture you have a bow and arrow, and you aim, and you miss the mark. You've sinned. The good thing is you have a quiver full of arrows. You have other chances. If sin means to miss the mark, righteousness means target practice. Every day, you're trying to become a little bit better. That's what life is about. Guys, that will be Christ's first appearance, Adam on the Almond. Okay? Second appearance will be at Jerusalem. There are kind of two things that will happen when Christ appears. First of all, we got to talk about this war. Who mentioned that World War? Yeah, okay. Let's talk about this war. It's called Armageddon, okay? And it's going to be big. In fact, Revelation 9:16 says that the army fighting in this last world war will be 200 million people strong. 200 million people fighting this last battle. It's the world against a little country called Israel, okay? And for years, boy, the surrounding countries around Israel, they've been trying to wipe Israel off the map. They haven't succeeded because the Lord told Abraham that would be his land, his kids' land, and great-grandkids, and great-great-great-grandkids, and the Lord is so good with his promises. But this final war is going to be crazy. When all is said and done, it will take 7 months to bury all of the dead. It'll take 7 years to destroy all of the weapons used during this last battle, okay? A question I get asked a lot is, will we be called in to fight this battle? Answer, we don't know. I doubt it. I don't know if the President of the United States will like, oh no, there's a war in Israel. Release the Mormons, you know, and and in we come, right? I don't think it'll happen though. It could, don't get me wrong, but now if you are a military person living in that day, yeah, you might have to fight in that war. But if you're just an average Latter-day Saint, you probably won't be involved as much. Okay. During the time of this war, we have two prophets. Was it you that mentioned? Who's mentioned two prophets? Two prophets. Okay. This is, if you're taking notes, Revelation chapter 11 verses 1 through 11. Revelation 11 1 through 11. These two prophets. First of all, you have to understand they are powerful. It says that they will prophesy for 3.5 years, and fire proceedeth out of their mouth. A fire-breathing apostle? Can you imagine? I mean, we do have Elder Holland, but can you imagine? Probably more the Spirit of God, like a fire is burning, right? They're going to teach repentance, trying to get people to repent. They're going to have some superpowers, okay? They are, well, technically priesthood powers. It's fun to think superpowers because I love Marvel and DC movies. They're going to be able to shut the heavens that it doesn't rain. There'll be a drought caused by them. They'll also have power to turn water to blood, okay? Sounds like the Old Testament, doesn't it? You see, in the Old Testament, Elijah had that sealing power. Moses had the power of plagues. He could turn water to blood. Remember that from the Old Testament. Why would he allow those two prophets to have those two superpowers? His audience is the Jews. The Jews love Elijah. They love Moses. the Lord sends these two Latter-day prophets to try and convert the Jews to Christianity before his appearance to the world. They will die. After those 3.5 years, their enemies will overcome them. And sadly, and you mentioned this before, they will lie in the streets of Jerusalem for about 3 days. During the 3 days, people will party. They will send gifts back and forth. They will congratulate each other on the success of killing these two witnesses. But the party will not last forever. After 3 days, the spirit of their lives will return to their bodies. They'll hear a voice from heaven saying, "Come up hither." They will stand on their feet, and all of a sudden, they will rise back into heaven. And I love verse 10 of Revelation 11. It says, "And great fear fell upon them which beheld these things." Can you? You just killed prophets. You celebrated their death, and all of a sudden they're resurrected back up into heaven. And wow, I'm feeling great fear. How about you? Why? Yes, I too am feeling great fear. No, this is like, oh my gosh, what have we done? Type of fear, right? The final event that's going to happen in Jerusalem before, well, as Jesus makes his appearance to the world, is this. You see, during this war of Armageddon, the Jews will be pushed up against a mountain called the Mount of Olives, and a great slaughter will take place. In the middle of this slaughter, a person will appear on top of the Mount of Olives. He will make it split north to south, east to west, creating an escape route. The Jews will go through this escape route and look up and notice him and say, "Thank you. Wait a minute. What are those marks on your hands and feet?" Yeah, you know where this is going, don't you? Jesus will say, "I received these wounds when I was crucified in the house of my friends." In other words, Jews, your ancestors crucified me. I am Jesus, the Son of God. And they'll say, "Oh, sorry." I don't know what their response will be. What do you say to that? The cool thing is in the scripture that says that the Jews, the tribe of Judah, the entire tribe, will accept Jesus as their Savior. They'll be converted to the gospel. Now, if I can't be a deacon passing the sacrament during Adamondayaman, maybe I could be a missionary during Armageddon. Can you imagine your letter home that week? "Well, today I baptized the entire tribe of Judah, right? Tomorrow I'm going to go after Zebulun and Naphtali and the others, but you baptize an entire tribe. Wow, wow, wow." Some people have asked, are we allies with Israel? Currently we are. We have a great relationship with Israel as Americans, as people of the United States. I'm not sure if that'll still play out then, but it's the world against the Jews. Yeah, Zechariah talks about that. Oh, we have another term that just got brought up, Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog. Who's heard that term before? Okay, a couple of you. It has actually two definitions. One is it's a synonym for the Battle of Armageddon. It's also used at the end of the millennium, the final battle, when the devil and his angels come against Michael and his angels and have that last final conflict at the end of the millennium. So it's used twice, Gog and Magog. Okay, should we do his appearance to the world? Great question. Yes, any books you'd recommend about this? Yes, the scriptures. No, if you want to write down, I'll give you, I think, the best chapters about this stuff. Obviously, the book of Revelation, it's incredible. There are 22 chapters. Anything from Revelation chapter 11 through 22 is going to talk about this stuff. D&C section 45 and D&C section 133. Those are the two that talk about the signs most explicitly. The other one I would throw out to you is Matthew, New Testament, Matthew chapter 24. Jesus gives a list of the signs of the times. Matthew chapter 24. Those are my four favorites for you from the scriptures. D&C 45 and 133. So there he is on the Mount of Olives. Split it. North, south, east, west. Who are you? Sorry about that. At this point, Jesus is going to make his appearance to the world. But something amazing is going to happen before he makes his appearance to the world. If you are righteous, guess what happens to you? You die. No, that's the wicked. If you are righteous, what happens to you? Oh, do you know that? Who's from the South? Who's my Indiana friends? There's some Indianers here. Tennessee, Indiana, you know this? They talk about a term. It starts with an R and ends in an apture. Rapture! Hey, nice job. Our Christian friends call it the rapture, where the righteous are caught up. It's in the book of 2 Thessalonians, in the book of Matthew, it's in the book of Revelation. If you are good and righteous, celestial, you will be caught up to be with Jesus in the cloud before the earth is cleansed from wickedness. Okay? What a blessing. We go up there, we eat some chocolate and Nutella and more chocolate. I love chocolate. While the earth is being cleansed. And then we come back down. Okay? Let's talk about this cleansing. Scripturally, guys, and it's going to be quite the day. The wicked, according to Malachi 4, will be burned. Okay? You girls at church, you have a little chant that you do. We are daughters of... Oh, I'm testing you. Remember how the old one started? Who loves us? This is a God that loves us who's burning people with fire? You know, to be fair, people that aren't Christians, they read Malachi 4 like, whoa, if this is the God of the Christians, I want nothing to do with this because that's a mean God that would burn his own children. I did research on this because I always would talk about the destruction of the wicked, the burning of the wicked. Scripturally, the word cleanse is used more often, which I love. With coronavirus, there's people trying to figure out how to get rid of it. One study that they've done, it's kind of cool. They use it in New York City. At night, after patrons have kind of calmed down, they'll go to the subways. They have this light. They go into a subway car. They push a button, and boop, there's a light that goes off. Guess what happens to the Rona? It dies. It's cleansed. It's gone. It works remarkably well. The light seems to kill all kinds of stuff. And we know this. Scientifically, light kills stuff. That's just what happens. That's what light does, right? How long does it take to clean a New York City subway car? That fast. How long will it take to cleanse the earth from the wicked? Man. Why? It's the Son of God who is full of light. You guys, to be honest, I have shifted my thinking. Scripturally, I used to picture people, I mean, suffering and dying and days and days and agony and... Man, the more I look at the term cleansing, and as I look at our modern technology for cleansing, the more I wonder, God, that moment could happen that fast, to allow them to just leave their mortal bodies and go up to be in spirit world. This whole being caught up with the righteous, has it happened yet? No, you guys are still here, right? If it would have happened, you guys wouldn't be here at this conference, right? It's going to happen. A lot of people have asked, when will the second coming happen? We don't know. My favorite line from President Benson, he says, when the rising generation does not have a fair choice between the ways of right and the ways of darkness, that's when the second coming will happen. When we have a generation that doesn't know right from wrong, he says, that's the type of condition we'll have during the second coming. We're getting there. As you look at some families and some things that are being taught in schools, not your schools, of course, but, you know, the other schools, there's some things that are being taught that are just confusing to young people. So, it's getting closer. The sign that hasn't happened yet that needs to happen is the two prophets dying in the street. That has not happened yet. Most every other thing has happened. What time, she asked, will the temple in Jerusalem be built? If you, our apostles have taught different things about that. Some say it'll happen before Jesus' appearance to the world. Others have taught that it'll happen after. So we're not sure. The verdict's out. We'll have to see how that plays out. Who's heard about the rainbow prophecy? Okay, let's take a minute on it. Joseph Smith, it happened to be March 13th, 1844, and he stood up and said, in the year that the Lord returns, there will not be the sign of the bow crossing yonder heavens. Meaning, in the day of the second coming, there will not be any rainbows. You're like, wait a minute, I like rainbows. Let me give you the context of this statement by Joseph. During this time, there's a guy named William Miller. He did some biblical calculations, and he was convinced that the second coming was going to happen on March 21st, 1844. Okay? Very smart guy, right? Actually, he had he was big. He had 100,000 followers. 100,000 followers that were convinced the second coming is going to happen March 21st, 1844. Joseph knew about this. He stood up and said, you know what? Historically happened to be kind of a rainy day with the rainbow, and it looks like almost tongue-in-cheek said, when the second coming happens, that will be a year without rainbow. We just have a rainbow today, and so the second coming is not going to happen in this year, 1844. Fun fact, March 21st, 1844 came and went, And so did the followers of William Miller. They realized you're not inspired at all. So he left. So that's the rainbow thing. I think it was meant to be more specific to William Miller than a general prophecy. Will there be a time of drought at the second coming? Yes, where there might not be as many rainbows. Okay. What prophecies have been fulfilled? Brothers and sisters, I am here to say most everything that I have read scripturally has been fulfilled, except for the two prophets. In terms of wars and rumors of wars and viruses and plagues and pestilence. That's so funny. Pestilence. Most everything. False prophets, do we got them? Yeah. Do we have missionary work happening among people? Yes. Jesus comes. The wicked are destroyed, burned, or, I love the word, cleansed. The millennium begins. How long is the millennium? 1,000 years of peace and prosperity. We're Satan is bound because of righteousness. We have temple work happening almost 24 hours a day, almost 7 days a week. It's going to be incredible. Families reunited. Resurrections happen left and right. Christ will reign as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. At the end of the millennium, we're going to have a final judgment. We'll finally be able to be placed into a kingdom of glory or outer darkness, right? What a day. What a time. That final judgment is going to be a beautiful thing. The word, I think, or the phrase we will hear most often. Ooh, I love what he just said. He said that the final judgment will be a wonderful thing for some. I'd love to tee off on that just for a minute. I think the phrase that we're going to hear most often at the final judgment will be this. Thank you. Celestial people, oh, I get to go celestial. Thank you. Terrestrial people who are good people, but they don't want to live celestial higher laws, their response to being assigned to the terrestrial kingdom will be, thank you. Celestial people that love to sin and they don't want to live higher laws, higher ordinances, they want to kind of continue in their ways to some degree. When they're assigned the celestial kingdom, the Lord will say to them, or after they're assigned, they'll say to the Lord, thank you. You guys, there's so many quotes about how whatever kingdom we wind up in, we will be happy there. President Talmadge said we'll be able to feel at home there, kick up our feet, relax. It will suit us very well, no matter what kingdom we go to. Now, granted, only those in such kingdom, they have different abilities in terms of creating worlds and continuing and receiving all that God has. But every kingdom, people will be very content wherever they wind up. Who knows what happens to this world at the very end of it, after the final judgment? What happens? It doesn't explode. That's on Star Wars. Go ahead. Good. It combines with heaven. You see, the world will be a celestial kingdom during the millennium, and then when all is said and done, this world, this earth, will roll back and take its place into a cluster of celestialized worlds. I hope we can go visit. Wouldn't it be so fun to see other worlds that made it through the plan of salvation that became a celestial kingdom for them? Oh my goodness, I can't wait. And then it continues. We become as our heavenly parents over and over and over again. Nice. Let's do this. I look at my clock and I see that 12:19, meaning we have 1 minute left. Let's wrap up with a testimony. And then if you want to ask me some questions, I'd love to entertain those. Is that all right? Guys, please know this. Of all things I know, Jesus lives. He lived 2,000 years ago. He died and lives again. And I know that he is coming back again. It has been seen by prophet after prophet after prophet. The only thing left to be seen, you guys, is your preparation. You see, the final outcome of this game is already on the scoreboard. The score is already known. The only thing left to be seen is what team's jersey you're choosing to wear. Every day as you read scriptures, as you pray, as you're kind to your siblings, kind to your parents, you're putting on the jersey for Team Jesus. I want you to be ready for his return. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings, or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.